Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
June is International Migraine and Headache Awareness Month. Migraine is a complex neurological condition which is classified by the WHO as the seventh most disabling disease in the world and the most common neurological condition, affecting about 12 to 15% of people. Migraine affects roughly 1 in 7 people here in Ireland and is 3 times more common in women than men, largely because of the way estrogen rises and falls across the menstrual cycle, in pregnancy and through perimenopause. Catherine Hearns has lived with chronic migraine for over 30 years and she joins me on the line now. Catherine, you're very welcome.
Hiya, Claire. Thanks so much for having me on.
And Catherine, some of the facts and stats that I read out in that introduction, do you think people underestimate how disabling a migraine can be and what a debilitating condition it is?
Absolutely. Worldwide, you're looking at 1 billion people. It is certainly more than a headache. And that's something that I've lived with for the last 28 years. And many people I have come across in, you know, during that time as well. It's a very frustrating condition because there is a lack of education, not only in life itself with people that that you meet on a day-to-day basis, but also in the workforce. It really is misunderstood. I spent 30 years in middle management and I hid my migraine because I used to take days off. I used to take holidays in order to hide the fact that I had this disability. And it is a disability, which in Ireland, it's not deemed to be a disability, but in America, it is. So, yeah, absolutely. It's very misunderstood.
And Catherine, take us back then to when migraines first started for you.
I didn't have a headache until the age of 24. And that was 2 weeks after I gave birth to my second son. And he is now 28. So over the duration of 6 years, my migraine shifted quite a bit from classic migraine to what I was eventually diagnosed 6 years later with. It can be a very lonely place. And those 6 years were very frustrating, not only on me, but for my husband and trying to take care of 2 young boys as well. I eventually got diagnosed with a rare subtype called sporadic hemiplegic migraine, which is a bit of a mouthful. But basically to describe it is that it mimics a stroke. So on very severe episodes, I would lose full power on my left side. I would have the full facial droop. I would lose my speech, my swallow. I would have all the other issues and symptoms that come along with migraine, such as nausea, light and sound sensitivity. It's an extremely debilitating condition. Not just my one. I mean, when I'd be chatting to other migraine sufferers and I mention my one and they're like, oh God, mine isn't like that. You know, I'm not as bad as you. But we are. We are all the very same. And it comes with respecting the not just the word migraine, but each and every individual that has it. We are all individually different. We all suffer differently, but generally, at the end of the day, migraine is migraine. So that was how I started.
And when an episode hits like that, Catherine, what do you have to do?
I physically can't walk, so I would have to be linked to basically to my bed. And I'm like, as my husband would say, oh, she's down now for a few days. Which basically means that I'm completely incapable of, you know, even trying to get to the bathroom on my own. It really is somewhat of a mystery. This particular one, I don't know why they call it migraine, to be honest. I have had it, as I've mentioned, for 28 years, to the point where my full left side is completely weakened. And I suppose there's an element of disability there. I don't like really using that word. But I recently actually got diagnosed with low-grade scoliosis on my lower right back because of my gait issues and because my right side, you know, when you're walking or whatever, when you're living your life, it was compensating for my left side. So it has done untold damage to me physically, and not just to my family.
So when that happens, I mean, I'm sure there'll be people again underestimating the situation and think, oh, lovely, you know, 4 days in bed where you can't do anything, you know, sounds like it could be a positive thing for us every now and then. But this is obviously really impacting on your quality of life, your ability to work, to, you know, mind your family, to have social occasions, you know, and you can't decide when it hits and when it doesn't. I'm sure there's been plenty of things that you've had to step away from and miss that you wouldn't have chosen to.
I suppose to go back to your first part of the question, it certainly isn't a fun time. I can guarantee you that. You know, the, like I was saying, my speech, my swallow, I'm unable to eat for the few days. Sometimes my husband has literally had to lift my head to give me drinks of water. You're being linked to the bathroom. You know, there's a loss of dignity there. My three adult children have grown up to a point where I had a discussion last week in a migraine conversation with a big company that I work with, and basically, you know, what I realized is, like, my children have grown up with the trauma of seeing their mother with this condition over 28 years. You know, so they have often seen it start before. Like, they would say to me, "Ma'am, you need to, you're getting a migraine," before I would even know it. So there's so many other people impacted, not just me. I've had to leave a family wedding. We struggle to make plans because, you know, there's the worry of me getting an episode. Flights are a disaster for me because I can be guaranteed by the time the plane starts to land that I'm starting to have a migraine. So the only thing is, I suppose, is preparation, is knowing you have to understand your body and really, you know, work on knowing what you can and can't do and the limitations of what you can and can't do. You know, stress has been a huge driver for my particular migraine. Overdoing it. And when I say overdoing it, I would be somebody that would, you know, I would like to, I've worked in retail, obviously, on the floor for 30 years. So I was on my feet 8, 9, 10 hours a day sometimes. So now those days are gone that I simply cannot do that. So it's very life limiting, and not just for me, but for my loved ones and for people as well around me.
It's so tough, Catherine, and I'm so sorry it's been your experience, and especially for such a long time. What sort of treatment have you received?
Well, I suppose the biggest hurdle, Claire, I had to come over, or I had to deal with first, was actually getting a diagnosis. My particular one, 0.001% of the population have it.
So I've gone through, I suppose, every medication out there. You know, I did, there was one particular medication that did give me an element of life back for about 7 or 8 years. But, you know, unfortunately, when your brain is a migraineous brain, you'll get breaks from it every so often. But as life would have it, you know, it's very difficult. I found the gentleman I'm with now, and his name is Martin Rutledge, and he is in the Hermitage. So I work very closely with Martin and have done since I've been going to him over, must be over 10 years now.
You know, I hope you find whatever it is that you can close this chapter, or you know, that it wouldn't impact on your quality of life as much going forward. And it does sound like you're on a good path to that now. And the more we talk about it, the less it'll be underestimated, and the more research can be put in this direction, particularly around women and female health and the connection to our hormones. If people want to find out more
Yes.
information, they can go to migraine.ie. But Catherine Hearns, thank you so much for coming on, and I truly do wish you all the very best.
Claire, thank you so much for having me on today. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
Alive and kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.